You get a gold medal, okay? There's nothing wrong with you.
You are listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's. Hello and welcome to episode 31 of the Alzheimer's Podcast. I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. As always, I am so happy to have you here for another podcast where my goal is always to empower you to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, returns for another episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa. In this episode, Christy will be sharing the number one key to amazingly awesome dementia care. I am so happy to have Christy Turner as a regular guest on the Alzheimer's Podcast. She is a certified dementia practitioner, certified dementia care unit manager, and cognitive stimulation instructor. She has run award-winning memory care communities and assisted living and skilled nursing levels of care. Using her 16 years of experience in working with over 1,100 people living with dementia and their families, she's developed a system that helps families move from crisis management to confidence. Hello, Christy, and welcome back to the Alzheimer's Podcast for another episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa.
Thanks so much for having me back. I love being here.
It's wonderful. It seems like we were only talking minutes ago.
I know.
So, Christy, as you point out in your article, the number one key to amazingly awesome dementia care, there are many things that care partners focus on to optimize the care for a loved one, and they're all important. But one thing rises above them all. So I look forward to learning from you what this number one thing is.
Love!
Love. Well, you didn't waste any time. All right, everybody can sign off now.
Yeah. Right. Love is all you need, right?
Love is all you need.
Yeah, so I know it sounds very... Really? Come on. but I think that we get so far away because we go, obviously, as grownups, we all understand love is not enough for anything, right? We still have to, we can love someone, but we still need to be able to care for them appropriately.
Right.
We need to make sure that they're safe. We need to look at, you know, are all the documents in order? But see, then we start going down that path where that's all we think about. It's all task orientation.
Okay,
right. That's the only thing that we're paying attention to. And so we forget that really the best thing we can do, and this is where it starts, is love someone. And it's more than just saying, well, you know, of course I love my mom or I love my husband. It's how are we showing that? Because love is a verb. And I think either we're not taught that or we just don't pause long enough to figure out, you know, verb. Those are action words.
Right.
So that's how we show that we love people is through action.
But Alzheimer's and dementia, it can definitely steal our love, or it can, you know, make it hard for us to remember to have that. We have that love, huh? Because we get so wrapped up, as you said, in the task.
I think that, and a lot of it too, I think is just because people don't, you know, something will happen, something really difficult, because dementia can come with a lot of difficult, you know, rough spots, right? Rough terrain. And so they're not feeling it necessarily. So then they forget to show it.
Right.
And that, you know, that's sad.
That is sad.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's our natural tendency when we're looking at somebody who, you know, maybe raised us that, or somebody who's been our partner for 40, 50, 60 years, we don't look at them as someone who needs our care. And so it can be like a 2x4 upside the head when they do need it. Mm-hmm. And so then we just dial in on all those tasks and who's the best doctor and well, what stage are they in and all of these things. And what happens is our mind gets so cluttered up with all of that, you know, it can be almost, it's like hyperventilating inside our head of all of these things that we need to do and we've got to get done. And they're so important. And it's not that they're not important. They are, but we got to come back to love. And that has so many manifestations. We think of it as more passive, but like I said, it's a verb. And so there's always action behind it. It's purposeful. It's really important, you know, and just starting with remembering that we're talking about a person, right? Mm-hmm. True. So not a stage, a disease, a task, a problem. This is a person. And, you know, a vulnerable person, true. But this is a person who's depending on us to be the guide, the helper, the advocate, the partner in all of this. And so I think remembering, you know, that's a person, that's a big deal. And then it's a habit, right?
Right.
So the more that we are able to get into the habit of, and this is what I always encourage people to do, is before every single interaction, get into this habit of you take a deep breath in, great big old exhale. Now we have space to bring in respect, kindness, love, compassion, empathy. That is an awesome combination, those five things, right?
Absolutely.
So we're going to go into an interaction and we're going to be the embodiment of those five things. And if you're trying to remember what those five things are, I'll make it really easy. Just be loving. If you're acting lovingly towards someone, you've nailed all five things. So that means that love doesn't get impatient, doesn't say, don't you remember? I already told you that. Love doesn't think that getting in the shower right now is the most important thing, right?
Right.
So there's a lot to that habit.
I can see family members that haven't come to terms with the disease yet, haven't accepted it, when their loved one does something that's lashes out or does something that they didn't used to do, or they I can see that family member blaming the loved one and letting that hurt that loving feeling, you know, letting that boil up to a dislike to their loved one.
Yeah, that happens. And one of the things that I say, because I believe it with all my heart, is not everybody is born to be a carer, right? And that's just the truth of the matter. Much in the same way that I was not born to be a rocket scientist. And that's a good thing for all of us, right?
Right.
Keep me away from NASA because I have no clue. But, you know, we need people to do all types of different things. And not everybody is born to be a carer. And that doesn't mean that you love someone any less because you're just not cut out for that. Not at all. Recognizing that about yourself and making appropriate arrangements for your loved one to get the care that she needs, that's love. That's absolutely love. That's being, you know, responsible. It's just being a good human being. So a shade back from that is some people are, you know, we're not born super patient. I'm one of those people. I'm not a naturally patient person. It's almost like I'm a completely different human being when I'm around people living with dementia. I have endless patience for them. Endless. Part of it, I'm sure, you know, that has helped to develop this is that I've been doing it for so long. I honestly don't know what it is other than I just believe that this is why I'm on this planet, is to work with people living with dementia and their families. But I have never been snappy or impatient with a person living with dementia. I don't know. It's like we just get each other. Right. And so there's a natural affinity there. But I do understand, you know, that it is difficult. And so I would say, again, because our topic today is being an amazingly awesome dementia care partner, is when you've had that moment of getting snappy or snarky, and you have blurted out something and generated some bad feelings, and you're wishing you could shove those words right back in your mouth, what I'd like you to do is take a very deep breath, blow it out, and let that go. Because the moment's gone, it's over. You know, you can say a sincere apology, and you would know better than I do, obviously, if your person is at the point where they're even going to remember what you're talking about. And if they're not, then don't worry about it. But what I do want you to do is just figure out, how did you get to that place, right? Are you sleep deprived? Has your person been talking about the same thing for so long that you just snapped? Is something else going on? Is there too much going on? Is the phone ringing, the dog barking, the UPS guy at the door, your person needing something from you, the TV in the background? Start eliminating those, all of that stimulation, right?
Right.
Turn off the alerts on your phone. Turn off the TV. Put the dog out. He can deal with the UPS driver. You know, you start dealing with one thing at a time, right? If you can't, as the care partner here, if you can't be kind to yourself, everybody's in a whole world of hurt now, right? Mm-hmm. So we need you to be very kind to yourself, to treat yourself lovingly, and to carry that forth, to carry that vibe, that feeling, that emotion to your person. Because energy is contagious. And if you're beating yourself up, you've got kind of a negative thing going on. And that energy, whether you express it out loud or not, is going to be contagious to your person. And guess what? It's going to boomerang right back to you. And now you're caught up in an ugly cycle. So be nice to yourself.
So it's the number one key to be amazingly awesome dementia care is not only just have the love and keep that love for your loved one, but to love yourself.
Yeah. I mean, you know, love is knowing your limits, right? So if you're not planning accordingly for those limits, it's disaster is all but guaranteed, right? So love's not adding just one more thing to an already too long day or too long to-do list. It's taking care of yourself so you can be steady and strong for your parent or partner. Because, you know, 4 out of 10 care partners die before the person they're caring for.
Yeah.
And that's a tragic statistic.
That is.
Really, you know?
The guilt, the caregiver guilt, the resentment of, you're having an impact on my life. I can't live my life. I can't have a job. I can't get out of the house. All of those negative emotions that are so common for care partners is we've got to help them get past that, to help them find the love and maintain that love.
Yeah, and for a lot of people who are feeling that all the time, the way to help them get past that and to get back to a place of love is to choose a new living situation for your loved one.
Okay.
You know, if you're every day feeling like, you know, you're looking at this person and your resentment is building because you feel like your life has essentially been taken from you, right? Like you're being robbed of the experiences and the life that you want to have. There are other living options out there that are safe for your person and where they will be well cared for. And so your primary job is to pick up the phone or get on the old Google box and find them, you know, find the help that you need, because you're in an unsustainable situation. And like I said, there is no shame in not being born to be a care partner. And maybe you're in a situation where you feel like, yeah, I was, but I'm just burnt out now. Okay. You know what? You did great. You kept your person safe to this point. Now it's time for a change. Does that make you a bad person? No, no, it does not. It makes you an awesome grown-up because you're recognizing that you have hit your limit and it's time for some fresh horses in here, right?
Absolutely.
That's totally okay. Totally okay. So one thing that I would really like carers to understand is being mean to yourself does not help you and it does not help your person at all. It's completely unhelpful. It's not very loving. So
no,
let's do less of what doesn't work and more of what does.
Exactly. And you say, not everyone's meant to be a carer, and being a carer for someone with Alzheimer's or dementia is a whole different level of being a carer for an older adult that broke a hip and can just rehab that in 6 months and you can walk away from it, right? This is something that people underestimate, the emotional, physical, and financial toll, because it can be a 10 to 20 year job, 24/7.
Right. I think that is one thing that, because it's really difficult for our brain to process, even if we've been seeing signs for, however long, there's a difference between seeing signs and actually having that diagnosis and having the reality really settle into our bones of, yeah, this is a long time. Typically people are diagnosed between 3 and 5 years after they have shown undeniable symptoms. Okay.
Wow.
So from the time of diagnosis, people typically live another 5 to 8 years.
Right.
And when we're talking about disease progression with Alzheimer's, for example, a lot of times we'll say, typical is 7 to 12 years. The truth is, that's probably after someone has been diagnosed, right?
Exactly.
Another truth is it's different for everyone. It depends on how old someone is when they're diagnosed, how old they were when, the first symptom showed up. Family history, gender, level of education, blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of different factors. You can take two people with all of the same information, right? They've been showing signs for exactly the same amount of time. They're the same gender, same level of education, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to have two completely different, courses. So it just, every person is an individual. But when it comes to the time commitment that we're talking about, usually by the time somebody has a diagnosis, they're not safe to be at home by themselves. So they do require somebody with them full time for the sake of safety and for anticipating and meeting their needs. And, Alzheimer's disease can last up to 20 years. And when you look at it that way, that is a very, very long time. And if you were the primary care partner for 10 years and you're feeling like you're done, you get a gold medal.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with you. It's just, you're exhausted, and that's okay. Take care of yourself, because if you can't take care of yourself, what's going to happen to your person? If you were magically plucked from the situation without any alternate arrangements, what's going to happen to your person?
Well, and Christy, I might add that you talk about how, no two people are the same. And, but it might be love and that ability to maintain the love so that you can have the enrichment and the joy together. That might be the one thing that can slow the progression down. The other alternative is, your loved one's not receiving any love and engagement. They're just in the dark corner of the house with no purpose. Well, that seems like that's going to speed up the progression.
Well, I think that there is definitely enough evidence out there that we know all living things do better with love.
Right.
Right? So I can't remember the name of that documentary, but that scientist that showed water, molecules, right, that were talked to lovingly.
Oh, no.
Yeah, seriously. Water molecules that were talked to lovingly versus water molecules who weren't, that were not talked to lovingly, they look different under the microscope. No kidding.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. You know, tears under the microscope, right? Mm-hmm. They're tears where something got in your eye looks different than tears of a complete despair.
Okay.
And those look different than tears of joy, happy tears.
I'll be darned.
So yes, every living thing benefits from love. There is no question. Every living thing does better with love than in the absence of love. No question. And again, you know, sometimes the most loving thing that you can do is to say, I feel like my part in this is complete and now it's time for, and it could be another family member or it could be a care home or it could be daycare, you know, whatever it is, know that there's help out there, help available. And it's okay to avail yourself of that because that is a loving action too. So I just would say, you know, there are a few other concrete ways that you can show your love. And I know a lot of times we have, you know, our listeners, right, really like, and together in this readers, really like concrete, you know, oh, this is all great. Love the abstract, blah, blah, whatever. Give me some actual tips. And so, just when we're talking about love because it's about Valentine's Day, right? You know, oh, we're coming up, right, on Valentine's Day. So love is in the air. And I would just say, you know, think of it this way. Here are some concrete tips within this context of love, right? So love puts you in that mindset of asking, how important is it, right? When your person is announcing that it is going to be sunny today and you look out the window and you see that it's pouring buckets, right?
Right.
How important is it that you correct your person? Not at all. Right. It does not matter, right? But see, that's just one of those little tiny tweaks that can make a big difference. And sometimes we get, because we're just not thinking about it, we're thinking, you know, well, that's not true. It's raining. Who cares? Honestly, right? We're not winning a prize for being right about the weather report. What's going to promote a loving feeling in your home? You know, so that's a concrete tip there is ask yourself, how important is it before you say something, right? And then think about using the so what philosophy of dementia care, which is basically, you know, when your mom says that she's going to have tea with the Queen of England this afternoon, you say, well, I can't wait to hear about it, all the details. Wow, that's so exciting. Because so what that she thinks that's going to happen? What bad thing is going to happen because your mom thinks she's having tea with the Queen of England?
Exactly.
Nothing, right? So, you know, it's kind of in managing how we think about things, thinking a little bit differently before maybe we say something. And then who cares is another of my favorite phrases, right? At least internal. So sometimes, let's say that you're going to be taking your person to a doctor appointment or out on the town somewhere, you know, visiting your sister, whatever it is. And they come out of the bathroom and they've got a cowlick in their hair and their shirt is off by one button. The correct response is, wow, look at you, ready to go? Because here's the big deal. Your person combed his own hair. That's a big deal. That means your person walked into the bathroom, knew what the comb was for, knew that the hair needed to be combed, and did it. Your person put on his shirt. He buttoned it. These are all causes for celebration. So a lot of it, you know, is just really our perception of things and where are we putting our focus? Where are we putting our energy? Where are we putting our attention? And when we can put things in perspective, that's really loving.
Well, Christy, we are wrapping up this episode. Do you have any final tips?
I guess I would just say, remember, for people who have a person who's a little further on in the disease process, where they're acting, you know, your person is acting in a way that isn't loving toward you. They're coming up maybe in the final stretch of their life. Just remember, only love is real. So no matter what else has changed since the disease process started, this won't, because it can't. People living with dementia can feel your love right up until their very last breath.
So thank you, Christy, for joining us, and thank you to our listeners. I hope everyone has a happy and wonderful Valentine's Day, and I hope you're able to find the love and share it with your loved one and the rest of your family. Be sure to visit Christy's website at DementiaSherpa.com. You'll find the link as well as any reference resources in the show notes at togetherinthis.com/episode31. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. Bye-bye.
Happy Valentine's Day.
You've been listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit togetherinthis.com/podcast.